Morning, Antioch, Wichita. I am so glad to see you guys. For those of you that we haven't seen each other in a few weeks because of this lockdown and COVID, I miss you. I love you. I have been praying for the church to rise in your homes and in you personally, all the things that we've gone through over the years that we've been taught, the things we've grown in, actually putting them to use and not letting them lie waste until we all get back together. We are the church everywhere and anywhere. So I pray that you're moving in that and praying in that. If you're on here and you're new today and you've never been here or you've been just a couple times, we are so glad you're here. And we don't believe that it's an accident that you're here. We believe that God has brought you here for a reason, whether this would be the first time out of the rest of your life or just a one-time thing. We are so glad you're here. And we just pray for you just to be blessed. And we're just thankful for you. And so, little story. Early on in my marriage, my wife and I were pregnant with our first child, and we were very excited and moving along, decently far along. Unfortunately, as many of us on here know, that sting, my wife began to lose this little one, and after battling that for a couple of days, ended up actually just completely losing the baby. And this was our first child. Like, we were pretty devastated and heartbroken. I remember the day after my wife miscarried, and we were just laying around the house, and we had a graduation to go to that night, the night after, and we went to this graduation. And of course, there sitting in front of us was this couple, young couple with a brand new little baby over their shoulder. And my wife and I essentially just sat there and wept. And but moving on, and by the way, for those of us who have lost children that way, for those of us who are not able to have kids yet, let me tell you this, Jesus can and will heal all those wounds and all of those brokenhearted scenarios that we've been through. And he very much so did that with us out of our heartache. And so we were so brokenhearted. But here's the deal, a little while later, not that long later, Jen was pregnant again, and we were excited, and except this time we were very nervous and cautious. We were longing for this little one, and something came across us that couldn't have happened any other way. We longed for a baby now in a different way. We had longed for this little one to come, and for whatever reason, in the womb, the Lord took that one home. And so we were longing differently than when we were at first. The first time we were still longing very much to be parents, but now because we had lost something, we were anticipating and longing for it ever so more. We were desperate for God to fill the void of the lost, this lost little one we had. And so we longed for things to be made right for what we knew wasn't right, and we were empty. And so when our son Kill came, and he's our oldest of five, and we were so blown away by the blessing of this little boy. We love that dude, even though he's 21, he's still our first baby. And but we just held on to him. It just seems a little tighter because we knew what it was to lose that. And so the reason why I'm telling you this story, if you're like, great, bro, why are you telling this depressing story? Number one, it's not a depressing story. It turned out to be one of the biggest blessings in our life, and it taught us something. But the reason I share that story with you is because the season of Advent has a lot to do, and it coincides with that heart. Advent has to do with longing. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're just jumping into Advent. And for those of you who don't know, the word Advent, it just means coming or arrival. And the season has kind of a dual focus. And we talk about this every year. And I think that this year it's so critically necessary to talk about Advent again. And so the first part of Advent is we deal with looking to the first coming of Christ, Jesus born in a manger. And we celebrate that at Christmas time. And then we look to the future and to the second coming of Jesus. And so here's the deal. Our very existence as a Christian is completely rooted around one thing, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. So we look to the scriptures, John chapter 1:1-5, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Look here. He's everything. Jesus is not just a part of some fictitious religion that we believe in, some morality as we've talked about in the past. He's not only a person, a guru that lived at one time. He is our Lord and Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the one that has pulled us through. He is the one that is still pulling us through. He's the one that's going to pull us out, and He's the one who's going to take us up. And so as you see this theme through the Scripture and why Advent is so critically important, is my argument is this. Man lost something, and the entirety of man, the Scriptures are clear that, all of creation groans for the Lord, groans for Him to come back, the sons of man to be identified. And that's been all throughout the Scriptures. And so when we look back to the first Advent, in the coming of Jesus in the manger that we celebrate, the birth of Christ, it was a big deal for them, and simply because of this. God stepped down out of heaven, was born in a manger, but the backstory to that miracle was this. God's people, Israel, were longing for Him to come. You see, the Savior comes because people need saving. His people were longing and broken. In the garden, when Adam and Eve sin and they are cursed and they are left out of the garden, and they go through pain and childbirth and working the land, and their lives become, instead of eternal, they become shortened on earth. They become temporary, and everything is a struggle. And all throughout the Old Testament, we see it over and over again, the ups and downs and ups and downs. God's people walk with Him. God's people forget. God's people turn to other things. God's people go wicked. God's heart races for them. They repent, and it starts over again. The law was given in the Old Testament, not just as a book of rules for people to follow, although that was God's standards and statutes, but the law was also given for them to be reminded that they couldn't do them all. They couldn't do it. They needed a Savior. They needed a Messiah. They needed an offering that was beyond all other physical worldly offerings they could offer to atone for their sin. They needed Messiah. They needed Jesus. And so their promise was fulfilled in a manger, born in Bethlehem from a Nazarite woman, this Nazarene, and they longed so deeply for Him that when Jesus came, it was so overwhelming for those who got it. And unfortunately, a lot of people missed it. But the answer to God's people's longing was Jesus. So we celebrate that. See, and Advent is more than just something that kicks up to Christmas. I would like to offer that Advent is looking at the complete story in a bigger way instead of just one day with the birth of Christ, but is the longing, the anticipation, the arrival, the affirmation, all of those things of what it is to have a Savior come. So now for us, the second coming. So we look to the past, but more importantly now for us, we are looking to the future. And so when we look to the future, we praise God for that. We wouldn't have, as far as looking towards something, we wouldn't have the second without the first. So we praise God for that and we celebrate it. But now for us, we have our eyes on what's coming. He is coming again. He is going to be back. Jesus will come back to this place, and He will come and one final blow, wipe out the brokenness and nastiness of the world. He will reclaim His, those who are His that call Him by name, that's us, and we will be with Him forever. So as we look at Advent, we long to be with Him. John 14, 1 through 3, this is a promise straight from the mouth of Jesus. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house there are many rooms, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to Myself, that where I am, you may be also. being here as a follower of Jesus who understands Advent, okay, who understands Advent, it creates a deep anticipation and a longing for us. Now, this is my thing I want to submit to you why this is so important this year. Listen, 2020 for many of us has been shaky at best. Some of us are longing for this COVID thing to be over. We're heartbroken over the things and politics of the world and of our nation. We're tired of the separation of people and the anger and the hate and the violence and the emptiness. This season has caused addictions to soar, domestic violence to soar, mental illness to soar, the brokenness of man. And that's not just outside the church. And in many ways, in many of those topics, they're inside the church. We need to look at these things, especially going into Advent, as this. Is the brokenness of 2020 just all garbage and we long for 2021 to come and move on back to normal? Again, I think that is probably one of the worst perspectives we can have. Right here in the midst, in the grace of God, partly that maybe 2020 was a part for us to regain our longing for Jesus. I got to tell you what, this year has made me tired. This year has stretched us and our family. We're good. We're standing. Jesus has us. But we've gone through a lot of loss this year, a lot of craziness with the church, a lot of questionable things that we didn't have answers to. And in the end, one of the biggest blessings of this whole deal, and you need to cling on to this, it has made me long. It has made us as a people and as a family long more for Jesus to come back. And think about it in the end, as we read through the scriptures today, God's men and women longed for him to come and save them through the Old Testament and through the New Testament. They long and live their lives anticipating and longing the return of Jesus to come any day. They longed for him. So in the end, y'all, 2021, Advent this year, thinking about what's coming next year, we don't want to skip that. Advent this year, 2020, might be one of the biggest blessings that we've ever known, because some of us for the first time have connected to the anticipation of Jesus, and some of us who have been walking with him, maybe our fire has been lit again to remember what it is to long desperately for Jesus. And when we long desperately for Jesus, he fills us and we stop running to the things of this world that we found out this year, if we didn't already know, if you didn't know, now you know, they can't sustain us. Our health won't sustain us. Our finances won't sustain us. They're all temporary, but only Jesus is worth longing for. So 2020, thank you, Jesus. And so here's our big point for today. What we long for will greatly affect how we live and what we live for. So when I think about when we were about to get married, back when Jen and I were little youngins, I asked her to marry me. We were on a really quick track, and this was all before Jesus. But I remember when I asked her to marry me, and she said yes. I longed so much for her to be my wife, not just in one or two areas. I longed for her to have my name. I longed to be there every day when she was home. I longed to just have my off time and my downtime with her amongst in many ways. I just longed to be with her and have her. And so when I longed for that day that was coming, it completely changed the way I lived and the way I acted my life. Every day I had spring in my step. I had joy. I was looking forward to something that was coming that I had part of the promise in, which was this thing. She said she would marry me. Holla. But more than that, I wanted and I longed for that day. It changed the way I live. It changed the way I treated people. It changed the way I treated her. And it changed the way that I dealt with myself. That, brothers and sisters, is a picture of what Advent is for us, because we've had a little bit of the promise, but we know that there's so much more. But that day when Jesus comes again should be the thing that fuels our heart and our fire for so many reasons. How have you been longing for Jesus this year? And so our text for today that we're going to walk through just sweetly and gently is Mark 13. 24 through 37. So if you got your Bibles, Mark 13, 24 through 37, we're just going to break it up as I go piece by piece, and we're just going to talk about it in sections. And so we're going to start with verse 24, and you can follow along with me. And so here it is, Mark 13. In those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. So earlier in this chapter, Jesus shares some of the signs that we'll see in the end times. Like there's this day when Jesus is coming, and it's not going to be just this random thing. There are going to be signs that are coming. So he says there's going to be many false messiahs, it says in verse 6 in this chapter. There will be wars and rumors of wars in verse 7. There'll be turmoil amongst the nations and the earth in verse 8. There'll be persecution of the people of God in 9 through 13. The Antichrist will come to power on the earth and will declare himself to be God. The earth's going to pass through a time of divine judgment. The heavenly bodies are going to fall from their places. The sun and the moon will not give light, and the universe will be plunged into darkness. And so there's going to be this time that's coming. And I got to be honest, this is why this is so critical, not to just be that guy, this end time prophet. But a lot of these things, which have kind of been true for a lot of years, a lot of them in biblical and other places seem to be coming true more and more and more and more every day. Y'all, I think the end is near. I mean, we are at the end days of the end days. And so there's going to be warnings. There's going to be calamity of what's going to come. And I think that we're seeing some of that right now. And so in verse 26, it just moves on to this. And it says, And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. So that generation, them, we're talking about right here, then they will see the Son of Man. When those signs start happening, whatever generation that is, whether it's our generation, whether it's your kids' generation, they will see him coming on the clouds of glory. Now, I don't know how often you think about this. We talk about heaven a lot sometimes, and once in a while we'll talk about going to the other way and what life is like here. But listen, when was the last time you thought about that day when Jesus comes back? Whether you've gone on before and you're coming down with him, or you're still here in the day that he comes, and you look up in the sky and all of a sudden the earth is just, I can imagine the earth shakes in Jesus, not just God, but God, Jesus, this righteous Savior of the world comes from the sky. You'll be doing whatever you're doing. You're at work. Maybe you're arguing with your wife or your husband. You're doing something. But listen, Jesus comes back. There's going to be a generation, and God, I hope it's our generation, where we will literally see Jesus coming on the sky, coming down. And I can imagine it's going to be horrifically scary and so amazing and wonderful. And it says in the scripture, it says he's going to send his angels to gather his elect. His elect are his men and women that he has chosen for salvation. Those who have surrendered their lives to him. He, Papa Bear, is coming. The angels are coming, and he's going to go to the four corners of the earth, and he's going to gather up all the men and women that love him, all the men and women in America, all the men and women who love him in desolate places, in tribes and jungles, all the men and women living under complete annihilation of communist governments and oppressive regimes and places that persecute them for their faith. All of them in a swoop of angels coming down will all be gathered and brought to Jesus. Amen. Man, if you're not living your life thinking about that day, if any of us are not thinking about that day when we finally, it all just hits and Jesus comes and it's just reality and our brokenness and our questioning faith, all of those things will be crushed and Jesus will be with us. It's his heart. It's been on his heart to come get you. All the days that I would imagine, this is just thinking about this, that you wept and you cried out to him. He's not a cold God. His heart breaks with his children. He's a God of compassion. And I can just imagine that those days when you are crying out to him and you're broken and tender, Maybe the Lord is thinking about that day when he can finally come and grab you and make it all stop. Man, I can't wait for that day. The day of the Lord coming is one of the most important topics in the world for a couple of reasons. One, it's just what I just alluded to. It's our homecoming. Our King comes in literally no more sense of COVID, no more sense of anger and hatred and racial brokenness and division, no more brokenness of our bodies and of our families, our addictions, our perverted minds, all of those things finally in an instant are gone. Think about the weight of the biggest thing that weighs you down and breaks your heart. And just imagine at this vision of Jesus returning and his angels coming, and it's gone. Just like that. How heavy we thought it was. And then in a second, it's gone. Verse Revelation 21, 1 through 4, this is always the go-to verse for this, but hear it again with fresh ears in 2020. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Y'all, finally free. This focal point of Advent is when we will see him and we will be free. I wonder what it's going to be like to live in a place with the glory of God where a thing like a tear doesn't exist. A broken heart doesn't exist. Loneliness doesn't exist. Broken mental thoughts no longer exist because the God of heaven wiped them from you. These days, in deep desperation, going back to my original story of longing for a little one to be born because we had lost one, is the very picture a times a million with Advent. We had relationship with Jesus. We had closeness with God, and that was broken in our sin, in our depravity, our sinful hearts, our sinful nature, this DNA that we got from the first Adam. All of those things are crushed, totally crushed under the weight of God's glory. And days like these, broken days like these, are all covered underneath the glory of God. The flip side of this is the wrath of God that comes on that day. And so John 3:16 through 18, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Now, this is what I want to concentrate on with this. There is a group of people in the end times who will be relieved when the Son of Man comes. And there will be a group of people who will be eternally horrified and separated from him. But here's how I want to focus on this. Hell is a very real place. Separation from God is a very real place. And in these days when people are losing their minds and losing their worldly security, you need to think very seriously about what you believe and what you don't believe. And I will say this. Listen, here's the glory of this thing. He loves you. He sent his Son Jesus to die for you. If you have not surrendered your life to him, if you have not called upon him and asked him to bring salvation to you, it is not too late. I wrote this thing, while we can still long, you can still come. While there's still an opportunity for us to long, there's an opportunity for you to come. It's not too late. Surrender in the name of Jesus, asking Him to come and forgive you of your sins, surrendering yourself to His will and His glory, that He's Lord of your life. This year, this Christmas, no holds barred. Listen, the end is coming, and it will be when that day when the earth cracks open and the sky cracks open and Jesus comes. Listen, it will be too late, but there's still time. This end times that we're talking about, this day, so vitally important for us who believe and those who will and should believe. And you can have a part of that. Moving on to the rest of the text, in verse 28, it says this, "From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that the summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that He is near, at the very gates. So truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all of these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." So this is just a simple illustration. That day that's coming, and you know these signs that are coming, they tell us something about what's about to happen. And so from a fig tree, literally like this, when you look at a fig tree, and you see any kind of tree and you start to see when it goes from being bare, all of a sudden it has leaves, and you know the summer is near. What is he saying? When those signs come, it's literally like this beautiful picture of a tree coming back to life. You know that the summer is near. Same thing with this. And the interesting story about these fig trees is they often they grow differently. When regular trees are starting to bloom, fig trees are actually starting to die, and it switches. When the other trees are starting to die, the fig tree is starting to bloom. So there's just more than a simple little picture in this. It's kind of a big deal. But this generation, the generation that sees Him coming, they should know. And this, in the end of it, he ends with this. He says, heaven and earth will pass away. And we read that a minute ago. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, it says in Revelation. And so this heaven and earth, we're going to pass away as we know it, but His words will not pass away. What he's saying is, what he's literally telling them right now, he is, number one, he's the Logos. He is the Word of God made flesh. He is God's Word Himself, Jesus. But the words that he's telling them right then and there about this end times, about Him coming in the clouds to take up and watch and to be ready, all of those things. He's saying, listen, all of this will literally pass away, but what I'm telling you in God's Word will not pass away. When you think about that, think about the importance of what God's Word means to us. And so as it moves on in the Scripture about this end times, verse 32 moves into this. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. What is this saying? Simply, this is a weird, weird picture for us. We're supposed to live and long and anticipate that day, to keep watch for the signs, but we are not allowed in on when that day will be. No one knows, and you don't know. And so we've asked ourselves the question over the years, and everybody has, why wouldn't he let us know? Why wouldn't the Lord tell us? And I think a few things is the way I like to put it is, when I was a kid, my mom went out of town, and I was at home by myself, had parties or whatever I was doing that wasn't honoring the Lord. Sorry, Mom. I would not really pick up anything or do anything until a couple hours before I knew she was going to be home. I was just kind of lazy. I knew I had time. I could do other things that I wanted to do. And so when I knew the time was getting near, I would get my butt in action and I would fly around like a super fast, large ninja cleaning man, and I would clean the whole house and just in the right time before she came home. I honestly think, and I'm not God and I don't put in the thoughts of God, but think about it if we knew for a minute. I mean, think about if we really knew what day in our human condition, because God is beyond brilliant. He is knowledge. He is wisdom. He is thoughts. He knows the heart of men. And I'm afraid It's proven to be true already, because listen, we know it's coming back, and we have to keep reminding ourselves, kicking ourselves in the gear to live in passion and on fire for Jesus. And so Isaiah 55:8 is just clear. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. He's no fool, and he knows. And so if humanity knew, I don't know what it would look like. And so the heart of longing is what God actually not just kind of wants us to be in, but it's a requirement. That's why we don't know when he's coming back. We don't know when the day is. All we know is there's no lull. There's no cruise and wait. If you look through the scriptures over and over again, and we're about to read it, stay awake, be ready, look for the bridegroom. All over and over and over again. The only way that Jesus is calling us to live in these days is ready and awake and anticipating that at any minute he comes back and we'll be with him. And what does that do? Well, hopefully it stirs our heart for his glory. It stirs our heart for what stirs his heart, for people to know and for us to love well and be the kingdom of God on earth. And so what are we to do? In the rest of the verse lines this out of that day. And the Lord just sweetly tells us in verse 34, it's like a man going on a journey. And when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake, therefore stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. So as we look in this just beautiful wrap up to this part of the text, we see this, like this master, he is the master. There's these points that he mentions in here. Number one, it's his house. The church and his people, they belong to him, and he entrusts us with the work that he has us to do. That means that number one, if it's his house, it's his authority. We are on borrowed time in his place and on his authority. We're to live and to serve under the authority of Jesus in full submission. It's his house. It's his authority. It's his work. He gives his servants a job to do. Each of us have something to do here. You have giftings to use in your stay awake, get ready time here on earth. God has equipped you with spiritual gifts to be able to edify the church. He's equipped you with a heart to do certain things that other people might not have the same heart of. We're supposed to walk and work in his house, his church, his time, under his authority, with his work. We have something to do here in these last days. And it says, stay awake three times. He says it over and over and over again. You must be, stay awake. You must be ready. You must stay awake. What is he trying to say to us that has a deeper meaning? The meaning is already full of depth. Stay awake. Don't fall asleep. Don't get sleepy. Don't start slouching. I'm coming any day now. And this again, why 2020 should be a gift to us, because God is rattling the cages of the American church and of us and the whole entire world. And the Lord is saying, stay awake. The things that you have been grabbing onto, they will not sustain you. And I am coming soon, and very, very soon. We have to be awake. And we know scripturally in Matthew 24, there's this great reminder, 37 through 39 says, for as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of man. Listen, the coming of the Son of Man. Listen, this isn't just a verse that talks about all people who don't go to church. There's going to be people in the church in the same way of not fully surrendered. If you have fully surrendered, then you have fully opened yourself to being staying awake to the coming anticipation, to the longing. That's what it is to be faithful and walking with Jesus. Is we are characterized by saved, graced, loved sons and daughters of the King, and we are people who long because we know that our Papa is coming back soon. And so in those days, Whenever it comes, it's going to be like in the days of Noah. Noah's out building the ark, and all of a sudden the rain started to fall, and people were dumbfounded, probably laughing at him all those days building on the ark and stuff. And in the end, in a minute, bam! And I tell you, when rain came, it was good to be inside the ark and the covering of God. But when the rain came, it was horrific to be on the outside of it. And to know that this isn't about going to hell or not going to hell, it was the love of God who had those people in the ark. It is the love of God that will bring us salvation away from what is coming for the rest of the earth. So the question for us is just simple as we get to the wrapping up of this. How do we stay awake? So number one, I just want to say just a few points. How do we stay awake? Number one, you need to have an awakening through surrender. And what do I mean by that? If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus and prayed for God's salvation to come, and I don't mean say a prayer and think you're saved. I'm saying calling out to God to save you, that you would be in His salvation, that your depravity would be washed by the blood of Jesus. Listen, you need to seek Him and seek Him now. This is a moot conversation as far as anticipating heaven and staying awake if you are already asleep, spiritually sleeping. Listen, Jesus loves you. The cross was a gift to every man and woman who would believe. Romans 10:9 just says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. You can't do it. You can't formulate it on your own. He already knows you're a sinner. He knows what you've done. He knows what you will do. And He loves you. His love is accessible to you still and comes. And it's only through Him. We look at Titus 3:5. It says, He saved us. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. It's only done by Him. You're not going to get saved. You could keep working to do things righteously. They're never going to add up to salvation. You need to surrender and have the God of heaven come and wash you in redemption by the blood of Jesus. You need Him. And today is a day when you can surrender your life and your heart open to Jesus and for salvation to come where you're sitting right there in your room. Don't be sleeping when the day comes. Be awake because you're alive to what's coming. Here's the second one for all of us. We need to remind ourselves of what we should long for and why. To be honest, we get sleepy and we need a reminder. This Advent season, as we've preached over this the entire life of this church and before that, and here's the thing, Advent is a gift to us in the church because it should remind us to live in a way that we long to be. We long to be longers. I mean, 1 Peter 2:11-12, listen, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Listen, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak of you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation when He comes back. The first part of that verse is so important. I urge you as sojourners, people passing through. The Apostle Peter is telling us, listen, as a sojourner, you have to remind yourself that you're a sojourner. This is temporary. This is minuscule compared to eternity. And we need to walk and talk and do things externally for the kingdom of God. But until you remind yourself internally that who you are and that you're a sojourner, it's going to be difficult. And we all fall into this. And this is just a sweet reminder of who God is and what He is doing. And so Romans 13:11-14. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Listen. time to push those things off has come. And so turning the corner of how we stay awake is, first and foremost, like we said, surrender if you haven't surrendered. Number two, remind yourself, beloved, every day when we get up in the morning, we have our time with Jesus, it should be a rekindling of the heart of longing. And live your life. This is the next one. Live your life through a longing heart. Man, live redefined. As you re-identify yourself as someone who's here temporarily, it changes your life. If we live that way, that what I have is temporary, my relationships are temporary, the suffering is temporary, it changes the way I should act. Daily reminding myself in my word and time with Jesus to keep growing. Stop getting comfortable. You always have another step. God is always calling us into waters that we can't walk on by ourselves. Don't shy away from being stretched. Look at what's coming compared to what you have in days when you feel like you don't have enough or you've been shortchanged by something, because something that's coming is far greater. Plan your life around the returning glory of God. That has to do with our finances and our generations of our families. See the world for what it is. The world, as you just turn on the news for 2 minutes, the world is dying and passing away. And sometimes dying and passing away as a people in life, it is a harsh journey. And we're seeing a lot of that. But here's the beautiful thing, a longing mind, if we live with that longing mind every day, living for something beyond today, this is what happens. We have hope. Our hope starts to recharge and refill again because we know that day is coming. We have reverence and obedience to God, and it should change the way we act and how we treat people. A longing heart creates a heart of worship, that longing and anticipation for God to sing His praises, to get our minds off ourselves and give Him glory, because in heaven that is what we will do. We will be with Him and glorify Him through all the ages of eternity. Remembrance, continually living in days where you're reminding yourself, having a heart for other people, the lost and the unlost, the saved, those who already know Him, encouraging them for that day, which is super scriptural, and the lost, chasing after them that they would have a heart to longing. Forgiveness, obedience, urgency, on and on and on. A longing heart is the answer for what many of us are looking for. Listen, what we long for will greatly affect how we live and what we live for. This just isn't a Christmas season. This is the season of Advent. You know, Christmas is like the crescendo of the first act. Jesus Christ, the Savior that we all longed for, His people longed for, was born in a manger. Think about it. God from heaven was put on flesh. Can you think about it? Every second of Jesus's life must have been a miracle, because the God of heaven was contained in the flesh of the very thing He created. Every breath, every step, every turn, every containment to contain the presence of God in you, it must have been a miracle. It was a miracle. And now, how have we been doing longing for those days? And listen, if 2020 has wiped you out, then I say amen. If you're tired, I say amen. If you are done, I say amen. If you are broken, I say amen. If you are questioning the whole entire foundation of the world, I say amen. Because the right answer to come through all that longing and tiredness and just being done and wanting things to go back to normal, listen, you weren't made just to go back to normal. God restores us to glory that we have no idea about. New bodies, new names to be in the new heaven and the new earth. We should long for a daily dose of Advent to remind us that we long for Jesus. Listen, our Papa's coming back. This is just a little while, and Jesus is longing to come and take us home. He's preparing a place for you right now. Man, I pray that you know that. I pray that you are just filled with that. I pray that Advent this year and the Christmas season just takes a deeper meaning. What the enemy meant for evil, God is turning it for good. Listen, 2020 and all of its nastiness, you know what it's doing in the heart of believers? It should be creating a deeper longing and a heart to obey and to run after the heart of God. And we don't need 2020 to be over for that. We don't need to have a good year next year, because God is with us in all seasons and times. And we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. It's right here, right now. It's right here, right now. Those other things are great, but they're external and they're temporary. Y'all, I love you. happy Advent as we move into this Christmas season. Let me pray for you. God, I just prayed for every single person on this line today on the stream. God, I pray that their heart of longing will be rekindled if it is burnout. I pray that this year, all the tiredness, God, you know the tiredness on the heart of every single person here, and you love them. And Lord, I pray that they would use that tired heart to be re-energized for a heart of longing for you. Lord, I pray for men and women that might be watching with us today, now and in the future, Lord, that if they don't know you, they haven't surrendered, but they're getting tired and trying to do this on their own. They can't seem to muster up any white knuckles anymore to do this. Lord, I pray that today is the day that they surrender. I pray that salvation only in you would come to that place right now where they are. Lord, they will just open their hands and say, God, I surrender. Please, Lord Jesus, come and bring salvation to this heart. And that God, that you would respond and that they would come and their lives would be changed right now. Lord, I pray for the end of this year, Lord, that we would just finish well. And God, thank you for being with us as always. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Hey, I love you. Have a great day.